Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Robert Cray bringing us back. My favorite blues man, 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate. No others. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Hope you use it to your advantage. Please check out my website and my newsletter. Check, you can subscribe to that. It's right there on the homepage. Please check out the poll question. We ask you a different question every week. Want to know what you think. And when you click your answer, you'll see how the poll is going so far. You got whatever's on your mind, whatever you've got, however you like to learn, read, listen, or watch. We've got it there for you at smallbusinessadvocate.com. John Harrison's our guest. Reverend John Harrison, CFP, is here. We're talking. By the way, he's the author of Making Mammon Serve You. He's a professional financial advisor. John, I have had to fight procrastination all my life. I am a procrastinator. I'm, you know, people who have recovered alcoholics.
Yes.
You know, they don't drink anymore. Maybe they haven't drank for 20 years. But if you ask them, are you an alcoholic? They say, yes, I'm an alcoholic, right? Well, in that spirit, I am a procrastinator. And that means that I have to deal with it day by day. And when it comes to business, when it comes to financial planning, that can be dangerous. You've got a story to tell us.
It really can be, and it was brought home to me graphically recently because I sat with a client who was a long-term client, owned a business with a partner, and the we had been talking as a group about doing some estate planning work for many months, and the general shape of the estate planning was agreed to, but getting actual documents produced and signed just kind of wasn't happening. And it's an easy problem for a business owner because running a business takes a lot of time and a lot of energy, and there's always another fire to put out. And so they never quite got around to doing these things. Well, partner A took sick and died unexpectedly.
Wow.
With all of the estate planning undone.
Wow.
And when I went to sit with
including
partner B,
any kind of will or anything like that?
Nothing.
Wow. So basically at the whim of a probate.
Yes. And, you know, there was partner B and about eight employees with this business. And when I went to sit for the first time with partner B and talk about, you know, how we were going to go forward, she said to me the oddest thing I've ever heard a client say, but it stuck in my mind. And what she said to me is that when I die and get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is find, and she said the name of partner A, and punch her in the face.
Oh, no. Wow.
And I thought, I knew exactly what she meant. Yeah. I knew she was kidding, but yeah. You know, only partly kidding, because it was just so frustrating and so expensive and so in terms of time and trying to fix things.
Tell us where the problems were. What were the classic problems? Let's define some of the nightmare that this woman is dealing with. Maybe it'll make somebody be less of a procrastinator out there.
Sure. From my end of things, the first and biggest problem was the partner who died was 100% owner of the business.
Oh, no.
And that created an enormous problem.
Oh. So who owns the company now? I mean that's the question, right? The estate owns the company, right?
The estate owns the company,
but it's not even a real estate because it's in probate.
Then the founder's nephew was the intended ultimate recipient of the business, but trying to make that transfer happen in the absence of documents that say so.
Wow.
Is really kind of a nightmare. And the other issue, of course, that happened with the business with no succession plan in mind is that as customers of that business learned of the death of the founder, it was very much a relationship-built company, and so some of the customer loyalty was tied to loyalty to this person.
Wow.
And so that creates sort of an immediate hit to the ongoing cash flow of the business while they're getting the ownership issues settled. And, you know, there are employees who have been there a very long time and whose jobs now are in question. And it's just...
So what should that person have done? What would have been the thing that, she could have done that would have changed everything around positively?
Just a couple of simple documents would have been a world of difference. First of all, was the will. And secondly, was some sort of buy-sell.
All right, so hang on. The will would say, this is what I own, and this is who I want it to go to.
Exactly. And anything that doesn't pass by operation of law, such as a joint bank account, or by contract, such as a life insurance
right.
claim or an IRA balance,
mm-hmm.
passes according to, to your will.
Yeah.
And if you don't have one and you die intestate, then the state sort of makes one for you.
Right.
And it may not have been at all
right.
what you intended
and then the
to
other
be,
one,
and that's the situation.
And the other one is a buy-sell agreement.
Yes, something that would not only... describe the transfer of the business, but would create the funding for it. You know, maybe something funded with life
right,
insurance.
Right, with a life insurance policy. Exactly. You gotta fund buy-sell agreements.
Yes. And, you know, just those two steps, and while that's by no means the entirety of an estate plan, those two steps would have made a world of difference.
And the business could have kept on going. Let me ask you, what about the company checking accounts? Was she the only signer, or
There were other signers there, so that it didn't freeze operations.
But now that she's gone, would they still be able to go in and operate?
They have been. Some of the legalities are
there. You go, folks.
The
there you go. That's my point. Is I'm not sure they can. You know, she's gone. If the account's in her name, but there are other co-signers, other signers of the check. I don't know what's going on with that. So, you know, boy, I'm hearing a couple of things that are making sweat pop out of my forehead here, John. You're scaring me a little bit. I'm realizing there may be a couple of little wrinkles I'm missing out here. So, John Harrison, folks, that's a scary, sad story. But it's a true story. Don't let it be true about you. Tintail, right back with John Harrison. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.